I really just want to listen to more of one of my all-time favorite movies, The Great Escape. Love that theme. I actually didn't ever really know how to play piano, but I learned how to pick that out, just that the melody you're hearing right now. Hello, and welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. It is time for the Women's Room with Dr. Jennifer Weberman. Dr. Jennifer Weberman is a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience. You can find her at theparentingplayground.com, and I don't want to waste any more time introducing her because I want to talk to her on our first show of the year. Welcome to the show, Dr. Weberman.
Happy New Year.
Well, a happy New Year to you, too. I know we were actually in the same state for the first time ever, but unfortunately we didn't get to reconnoiter, so we'll have to figure that out at some point.
It's a pretty big state. You can be in the same state and be nowhere near each other. Unbelievable.
Without a doubt in California. There's no question. So the topic today, I'm going to jump right in, is gratitude. And we've heard a spiritual take on it or a religious take on it from Pastor Drew, a somewhat spiritual and, say, environmental or nature take on it from Wayne Levine. What would you like to add to the discussion of gratitude?
Oh, you know I'm always going to bring in the psychological perspective on gratitude.
Okay.
I read your blog posts. You had two of them about having an attitude of gratitude and all the things, big and small, that you're feeling grateful for.
Do you like that? Do you like that alliteration, attitudes of gratitude?
I do. It just rolls off the tongue.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And it's very appropriate this time of year because, you know, a lot of people are reflecting on their lives and their choices, and it made me think about a conversation I often have with my clients about the power of perspective, because gratitude is a perspective. And how the conversation usually goes is, you know, there's the things that happen in life and in the world, and then there's the meaning that we give those things. So something happens, and then we decide to make it mean something. And we do that consciously or unconsciously. So, for example, something happens in our life or in the news, and we might say, the world is full of evil, or we might say life is unfair, or we might say things happen for a reason, or we might say, oh, that's a terrible thing, what can I do to make this better? The different responses we have reflect the different perspectives or beliefs we have about life. And what I think is key to understand is that the belief that we have about life or an event is more powerful than the event itself.
Wow, very interesting.
The belief shapes your perspective, and perspective becomes your reality. And as human beings, we don't always see a difference between perspective and reality. We live like our perspective is the truth. Now, I have no way of knowing which perspective is real or not. Maybe the world is full of evil, or maybe it is unfair, or maybe everything does happen for a reason. Who can be sure? But what I do know is that if I get to choose a perspective, mm-hmm. I'm going to choose one that empowers me.
Okay.
If it's all made up anyway, I may as well make up something that works for me. And in your example, gratitude is a perspective that you've chosen.
Yes.
You could choose something else that might disempower you or make you feel angry, scared, or resentful, or defeated, or what have you. But you chose gratitude because that works for you. And what does that give you? I'm curious.
Wow. It gives me just an incredible... It gives me happiness. I think gratitude is the single biggest ingredient to happiness. And I learned that from Dennis Prager, because he espouses that often. So if you're grateful, you're going to be happier. If you complain, if everything is horrible, and if life's not fair, as our kids are so wont to say, then very little is going to make you happy. Because how often does everything go perfectly on any given day, week, or month? So
absolutely doesn't.
Gratitude gives me happiness. I am mostly happy. I was irritated to all get up because I got a speeding ticket, a bull crap speeding ticket on the way to the radio station today. And for 15 minutes, I was really irked. And then I just talked to myself and said, gosh, if this is the worst thing that happens to me all year, thank God. And by the time I got to the station, I was over my irritation for the most part, although I allowed myself to get back into it for the sake of ranting on about it. But I really was over it. I was grateful. Instead, rather than the cop being there because I'd been in an accident and I was hurt, he was there because I was going a little over the speed limit. That was how I chose to look at it.
That is a perspective that empowers you and enables you to stay focused on the positive. You could have chosen to make that speeding ticket mean that bad things always happen to you, or you have bad luck, or people are out to get you, or lots of other different perspectives. but you chose the one that you chose, and the results are that you were able to get past it and refocus on something positive more quickly.
Well, yes, it's so interesting. So, you know, I want to go back to something you said earlier, because one of those phrases you quoted really bugs me, and it happened for a reason, or there must be a reason behind it, or anything along that ilk. I think that applies when it's a small thing. I just cannot ever put my mind around the idea of it happened for a reason. For instance, with the Newtown Massacre, there's no good reason for that to happen. There's no good reason for a child to contract a deadly disease. Yes, there may be something positive that comes out of it as far as, you know, getting rallying people to raise money to cure the disease. And yes, there may be something that come out of a horrible tragedy like Newtown, which may just be stepped up security or more awareness of how to prevent these things, or better testing of individuals so that the psychologically disturbed are not as out there as this young man obviously was. But sometimes I just go, you know something, there's no good reason for that, period.
Mm-hmm.
So I take issue with that. Not that you were proposing it or a proponent of it. You were just using it among a list of things that we tend to do and a perspective that we tend to bring.
Mm-hmm. For you, that perspective in an event like that, which is, I mean, just in my opinion, was just such an atrocious event that I can't make sense of it personally. I still haven't been able to make sense of it and process it. It doesn't work for you. And so choosing something different in an event like that is more empowering for you. For me, there's a quote from Helen Keller that I really love. It speaks to me personally. And she says, "Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, vision cleared, ambition inspired, and success achieved." And I just read that. I love that quote. Some might not, but I love it because it speaks to me and it gives meaning to my suffering. I can think of it as character building. Now, it may or may not be true,
but I
choose it because I make it my truth because it empowers me.
I completely agree with that quote. It is so interesting to me that we tend to learn so much more from our failures, or we can learn so much more from our failures than our successes. And they are always learning moments and learning opportunities if you choose to take it that way.
Absolutely. In fact, a lot of my conversations with clients focus on failures, famous failures. There's the one where Thomas Edison, I don't even know if this actually happened, but supposedly Thomas Edison, you know, it took him 1,001 times to invent the light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked how he feels about failing 1,000 times. And he said, "I have not failed 1,000 times. I have discovered 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb." And I love that because talk about a powerful perspective. I couldn't have tried something 1,000 times and failed for sure. But he could, because he never looked at them as failures. He looked at them as learning ways not to do something.
I am sure that is not a true story, but I don't care.
Potential of it anyway.
Yes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Its value is clear that again, is a choice. And it's wonderful. We're nearly out of time. Any other parting thoughts or words as we embark on another year?
I think that while everyone is busy making New Year's resolutions, 99% of which will not last into February, I think this is a great opportunity to actually look back at your life and identify what your perspective is. And then ask yourself, is it serving me? Or is it time to give it up and replace it with something that empowers me? And if you can't figure out what it is, ask your friends and family. They'll probably be able to tell you what your perspective is, because they've listened to you complain and gripe for, you know, as long as they've known you.
Well, you know, it's funny. I know we're out of time at this segment, but I just have to briefly say, as you know, one of the two columns that we have referred to that I wrote had to do with doing reflections at the end of the year rather than resolutions for the new year. And I think it's in essence the same thing. You're saying mm-hmm. to look back at your year and really look at what worked and what didn't work, and what didn't work might mean a readjustment in how you go forward.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a better thing than just the silliness of resolutions. I think a lot of people are tired of the resolutions idea anyway, and there's a better way to do it. Anyway, thank you. Where, again, may my listeners find you?
The blog is theparentingplayground.com, and we are on Facebook under the same name, and on Twitter, it's dr_Weberman with one B.
And one N, correct?
Listen.
And if you want to actually interact live with Dr. Weberman, she is often at Dad Chat. So I hope to, in fact, talk with you, so to speak, later this evening. And any others of you, my listeners that want to join Dad Chat, which is at 6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Thank you, Dr. Weberman.
I will be there.
I look forward to seeing you there. We will be back with some closing remarks after these messages.
What did they do just when everything looked so dark? You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Do not mess with Mr. In-Between.